There are a lot of words traveling around today being used. Equity, diversity, equality, all kinds of words that don't even tend to have the same meaning anymore to a lot of people. I am going to read today a letter to the editor that a dear friend of mine wrote up in South Dakota. Many states since some recent events in the last year have been trying to solve the abortion issue in each individual state. And it's been a fairly heated debate, and it's been fairly convoluted. Most people, I'd say on both sides, probably do not understand. This friend of mine, she understands what she's talking about. She understands the laws much better than I do, even. And she just really explained this in an excellent way. And I hope that I can read it and give it some... I hope that you can understand and I can get the point across. You may, again, hear shenanigans in the background. My husband on the tractor, the children playing with the dogs. This is Real Life on the Prairie with Donita Fogelman of prairie-trail.com. If you haven't checked out our magazine yet, please do pop over to prairie-trail.com and check out this biblically based magazine that helps you connect the past with the future to live a more sustainable life right from where you're at. So, without any further ado, I'm going to read this letter to the editor from Jennifer Elia to her local newspaper in South Dakota. Eliminating the vulnerable and the disadvantaged will not build a more fair and equitable society. It will destroy the fabric of our already tenuous communities and make people a commodity instead of invaluable gifts. Every person is an irreplaceable gift and has value, whether you personally believe their life is worthy or not. The most amazing and valuable people I have encountered are ones who, from the outside, seem to have quote-unquote less than lives, but in fact have much richer existences than those of us saying they would be better off without an opportunity to live that life. So I felt compelled to write this response to a piece in the newspaper on medication abortions published on February 16th, 2023. The piece, as is often popularly purported, stated that abortion is a constitutional right, but that is not entirely the case. Roe v. Wade supported the right of privacy is a constitutional right and can extend to abortion. It supported that the right to choose fell under privacy. However, abortion is not absolute and access must be balanced with the state's right to protect public health and the life of the unborn, as guaranteed by the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. The implementation of this decision, though, infringed on states' rights, which have always included public health. The Roe v. Wade decision was an overreach and wildly misinterpreted. It continues to be misinterpreted, which muddies the water, of the whole abortion debate. Norma McCorvey, Jane Roe, in this case, never actually had an abortion and became a staunch pro-life advocate until her death. In many ways, she was used for others' agenda. One of the main concerns of the court was the health and safety of the mother. In our Declaration of Independence, the first right listed is the right to life. Here in South Dakota, we have laws that protect the right for women and for the unborn. Abortion is legal when necessary to save the life of a mother. This has been reiterated by the governor, lieutenant governor, and the state attorney general. Laws cannot be created by the courts. Their role is to protect citizens from abuse by the government. They rule on individual cases, which then become precedent. Whether the application of a law or an actual law are in line with the Constitution. However, their decisions do not change or create laws. They only clarify or translate the actual constitutional application of such law. The legislature, Congress, is the only body who can create a law. Therefore, abortion was never enshrined in law. It was defended with provisions in a court case. In addition, the president and the governor cannot create laws. All laws must go through the legislature as bills with due process and then can be signed into law by the president or the governor. Anything else is unconstitutional. So, President Biden's order/mandate to allow medication abortions nationwide is not only unconstitutional because it once again infringes on states' rights to govern public health. It also is not a law and cannot be treated as such. There is no Supreme Court case, constitutional right, nor law that states that abortion must be available for all 9 months. In the Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood versus Casey limitations and the rights of the states to restrict abortion were upheld. None of the cases since have argued for unlimited access either. In the Dobbs case, the Supreme Court did not illegalize abortion. It returned the right to the states so that each state could once again decide how best to protect the health of their women and unborn. Dobbs acknowledged the overreach of the initial Roe v. Wade and nullified the national mandate for abortion to be legal in all 50 states that came from the case. Then there is the argument of rape and incest, both of which are despicable and heinous crimes. Statistically, less than 1.5% of all abortions are for this reason. In February 16, 2023 article, medication abortions were denied safe because only 2% of women experienced severe complications. I've got to stop here for a second. So, 1.5% of all abortions are done because of rape or incest, but 2% of women who have abortions experience severe complications. Okay, reading on. If it is okay for only 2% to suffer, could we say the same on the other side of the argument? In the end, this again comes down to a societal problem. Children and women are not valued. Making it easier to not value or to abuse them will not solve this problem. We are putting a band-aid on a gaping wound instead of mitigating the circumstances producing these wounds. I ask you to truly consider what this unconstitutional amendment really means and decline to sign. Unmitigated and unrestricted abortions will not help the women and children of South Dakota. It is not a pro-life law, as some groups who are sharing the petition have said. If we truly care about women and the future of our country, we must create a society that supports unwed or at-risk mothers through pregnancy and child-rearing years. We need to restore the reverence for every person's life, no matter who they are, how they are conceived, or what they, quote-unquote, add to society. We need to value our aged population and stand firm in protecting and caring for the vulnerable. Moreover, we need to build generations of men who respect women, who treat them with the inherent dignity that they deserve, and make it unthinkable that a woman would be abused, trafficked, or used. There are more points to examine and argue, but I will leave you with this. Do you value the protection and sanctity of women and children? Then you must decline to sign. This amendment is too extreme, and any push for unmonitored or unassisted abortions is totally irresponsible and not in the best interest of the actual women involved. After all, at what point would you choose to have others decide your life is unworthy? I think Jennifer Elliott did an excellent job with this letter to the editor, and I hope many people in South Dakota read it. She makes so many valid points here. I have friends who have had abortions, and I still love them, and I grieve for the loss of their children. I hope that this gives you something to maybe share with others and some things to think about. Whenever we're arguing or debating the abortion issue, it really isn't as much of an issue of what the government does or does not allow. It's an issue, like she said, of respect. There's so many things said these days about respecting women or those who want to be women, but yet the actual respect is very seldom there. We talk a lot about toxic masculinity, but yet it tends to be those same men who are supposedly toxic, who are the ones that would be first in line to protect a woman with his life. A toxic man is one that does not treasure a woman and does not treasure children, whether born or unborn. That's what we need to be thinking about. Any man who is big enough and tough enough to want to throw himself in front of me, between me and a bullet, I'm going to have respect for, to a point at least. Don't stand for a man yelling at you, hitting you. Stand up to them because you are worthy of that respect. And I should be careful with what I say, worthy, right? We know from the Bible none of us worthy of anything, right? But stand with dignity and stand up for what you believe and whatever it is that's going on. Draw your line in the sand. Create your boundaries. Hold to your healthy boundaries. A majority of the time, when a woman is taken advantage of by anyone, she's taken advantage of because she doesn't have good boundaries. She doesn't know when to say no. She doesn't know how to have boundaries. I would encourage you to get the Boundaries book by Cloudon Townsend and read it, listen to it in audio, look up their interviews on the internet and watch them. Learn how to have boundaries. Learn how to watch over your shoulder, how to take care of yourself, teach your children to, I'd say especially your daughters, but at this point your sons as well, to keep an eye out around them, to be aware, to not put themselves in situations where they would be in danger, and to watch out for others around them, to help care for each other, to watch out for your neighbor. And, you know, instead of being nosy and busybody, let's start actually acting like a community that cares. Be that person that these young ladies are willing to come to in a time of need. Be willing to be that non-judgmental place where they can talk and where they know you will pray with them over the situation, and that you will be there for them and help them through it. Be that one who new mothers can come to ask questions about this crazy thing we call motherhood that is hard for all of us. Be there for each other. Help each other. And by all means, teach your sons to respect women by teaching them to respect you and their sisters. I will let this go now. I thank you, Jennifer, for letting me use this and read it in the podcast. This was a wonderful point, some wonderful points that she made. Feel free to look up some of these court cases and things. Definitely call your congressman, call your legislature, talk to them about it. See where they stand and see what they're hearing from other constituents so that you know how to pray for them and to pray for your neighbors. And thank you so much. Remember to subscribe and share and like and all those good things.